I wanted to discuss a little bit of Hochech Tuchecha Samisacha and a relationship to Arvos. I really did not have almost any time to prepare the shiur, so I apologize because there's really a lot more and probably a lot more organized or insightful than it will end up being. There's more to say. My folder is, so to speak, thicker than I could share with you. But I think that hopefully we'll be able to get through some interesting things in its own right and at least provide a certain framework for your learning until now or perhaps even in the future. As you know, the Gemara on Daf Nun Hey, which discusses this topic, really is a continuation of Gemara on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. And I don't want to spend so much time reading the Gemara's inside, but just to catch our bearings, the Gemara on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis is speaking about this case of the Para, as it was known as the Paroso Shir Abelazar Ben Azariah, and the Gemara asks, "V'chada Para Habile?" Right, this was the Para. What do you mean? He only had one Para. Rav, Amrile, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Tracer Afe Egle Have, Meiser. Right. So, and he had all this amount, and how much did he do a Meiser from Rav Elazar Ben Azariah? Ma'adre Kol Shasa V'Shasa. So, what is going on here? Why is it referring it to his? So the Gemara explains, Lo Shelo Haisa, really, actually, this one, of whatever, how many he owned, this is Taka, not even his. But it's being framed or formulated in this way to make a point. Which, what is the point? A very profound one. Ela Shel Shchinto Haisa, was his neighbor's. Mitoshel Michaba Nikreis Al Shemo. And because he didn't step up to the plate and do the proper macha on the Aveira that's being discussed here, Shvisas Behema, whatever it was, so in that case, he is considered liable, and it's not really his cow, but the Aveira that's done with the cow is attributed to him, and that is being alluded to by referring to it as Paraso. And in fact, the Gemara goes on to say that this is part of a larger tradition. The next line is, the name of Yonason here, Kol Mishev Shalimchos Lanche Beisav Leimicha, anyone who has the ability to influence others, for example, his own immediate family, Vlomicha, Nipas Alanche Beiso, then he is held responsible for those of Eros. And someone who has wider responsibilities or abilities, for example, maybe a rabbi or other leaders, Anche Iro, Nipas Alanche Iro if he doesn't do anything. And what about somebody who's a world leader, B'chol Olam Kulo? So too, Nipas Al Kol Olam Kulo. Rashi says, "V'cholam kulo." It doesn't mean the whole world, but v'chol Yisrael, the whole Jewish people. Kugon Melech, Manasseh, Sheir Shalom Chos, Sheyirein Mipanav Umukayim and Devarav. If people would listen to him and he didn't, so then he is considered liable for the averus that he did not step up to the plate for and did not do what he could to stop.
So it seems like there's an assay that he's over on Hochech Tochiach, and he's also.
Well, the Gemara here didn't say anything about Hochech Tochiach. Or did not say that.
Since you mentioned it, you brought it up.
We'll see that maybe. I'm not sure. You may be right. You may not be. We'll see. But what this is a source for, and it's a famous Gemara Masech to Sanhedrin that speaks about when they came over the Yarden. This Gemara is talking about something called. What is this Gemara is talking about Arvus. Arvus doesn't just mean that we're responsible for others and even has certain benefits, that we can be motzi them in Kiddush and these things like that, the famous ritva. But that if we don't utilize that relationship, then in fact we may even be liable for those averos. Now that's so far what seems to be on here in the Daf Nun Beis. And Daf Nun Hey, you have a whole big part here on the Daf.
So just to clarify, so it's not necessarily that you're over an Isser, but you may still be punished. If Ellie's right, then there's a certain...
Arvus itself might be a bit...
Well,
we'll have to see. The Pashas is that Ellie's right. The Pashas is, but we'll see. So the Gemara on Daf Nunhea Ben Aleph, also, again, there's all sorts of stories here, very fascinating story in the beginning, where Rav Yehuda, Haviyasa Kameh de Shmuel, right, this woman comes in, and she's yelling, how come you didn't do what you're supposed to be doing? So the rabbi doesn't say, I'm wrong, and the rabbi didn't say, she's wrong. Right? Those are the two more likely responses. He picks the third, he passes the buck.
That's my rook response.
Yeah, he said, don't worry, I'm not responsible, you're not responsible, but my boss is responsible. Right, very interesting Gemara with interesting thing with the cold water, the hot water, whatever is interesting. We'll have to read inside. That's interesting language. And then You have, if you'll skip to where you see the reference to even to Rabbi Akiva Eger, to the Gilyon HaShas, you see there after the Vigomer, Amar Rav Zeiler of Simon, Lo Chichinhu Mar Lahani de Beresh Galusa. Right, they were doing things in the circle in the court of the Reish Galusa that was inappropriate. So he says, you should be here's the Hochech Tochiach reference. You have to give them Tochacha. You have to give them, tell them they're doing something wrong. So he responds perfectly reasonably, you would think, Amar Lai, Lama Kabli Minai. Right, they're not going to listen to me. Why should I waste my breath? Amar Lai. So he responds to him, Af Al Gav the Lama Kabli. Even if they won't respond to you, nevertheless, you should still do this. And then the Gemara goes on to an elaborate limud from this pasuk in Yechezkel that the only time that something good happened and it was taken away, right, this is a tradition. I'm not sure if this is the only Gemara that sources this tradition, but I remember even when I was very younger, some Rebbe must have told me this, right, that Hashem will sometimes change his mind for bad. If he had said something bad, he'll change his mind for good. If Hashem decides something for good, he's never going to change his mind, even if he doesn't deserve it anymore. So this Gemara is consistent with that, because it says this is in Echanami, that's the general rule. But this was the one-time exception in the Zman HaChorban, where in theory, not everyone was doing the Averos that brought the Chorban, so really some of the people should have been saved some of the anguish. Nevertheless, everyone suffered, because even those, perhaps with the exception of the actual single Navi, etc., but otherwise the other Chachamim were not doing or giving Musar. So this Gemara establishes very strongly that there is this tremendous responsibility, perhaps related to Arvos, perhaps related to Hochech Tochiach, perhaps that's really one and the same, we'll have to see, to step up to the plate, and the notion of, what's the idiom? It's an English, so to speak, minding your own business, so to speak. That's not a Jewish one. We're supposed to care about what people are doing, and if we know about it and we feel that they're in our sphere of influence, we're supposed to say something. Sphere of influence means that we have an achrayus towards them. Even, apparently according to this Gemara, even if the influence will be only very theoretical, because on a practical level they're not going to listen. That's what the Gemara seems to say. In honor of Shraga, I brought a diet, Dr. Pepper. So whoever says shir next week should know that it'll be Shtal Chazaka. Okay, so before I get to the Tosfos, which I imagine many of you did see, it's a short, not a difficult Tosfos, but an important Tosfos, and I want to just discuss some other halachos, and then perhaps get to Tosfos, which I think is important on its own right. We'll see some of the other shitas of Rishonim, and then I want to perhaps show you, without, as I said, time did not permit me to give more to prepare more, but even to just give you a little of a background to show you that this Tosfos and this Gemara are actually sitting on what I would call a halachic fault line. This is actually a very, very, very dramatic and important Gemara because it's really, its relationship, should I say, to other Gemaras, really in the relationship between those multiple Gemaras, actually in different Rishonim or Achronim, from that relationship and, so to speak, balancing them, really emerges some of the different approaches, very profound and important approaches that Rishonim and Achronim have to the sugyos that relate to our relationship with our fellow Jews. So before we get into that, which is the bigger topic, let's just mention some very basic things that I saw just in light of this sugya. So number one, we did see here a obligation, which for now, I think Eli and Shraga are right, the only mitzvah we know, so to speak, on the books, is Ochech Tochech Hazami Secha. And Ochech Tochech Hazami Secha is a mitzvah asay. So, it's interesting that perhaps we could raise the question, to what extent does someone have to endure to fulfill this mitzvah? And I specifically here want to ask the question whether financially one is required to expend money in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ochech Tochiach. You can imagine a variety of scenarios. I'll take one that's very close to heart. What about a rabbi who knows that if he'll open his mouth, he's risking his job? Mm-hmm. Right? That's very, very practical. Very, very practical. I don't know why it popped into my head. I'm sure it was front center of all of yours. So it's interesting. I think that if you take, if you take a look at the Minchas Chinuch in Siman Reish Lamed Tes, the Minchas Chinuch has a very, very important chiddush, perhaps presaged by at least one Rishon. But the Minchas Chinuch says that when we speak about our relationship and our responsibility towards our fellow Jews who Nebuch may be making mistakes, which are self-destructive. Our interests are not to lord over people and to empower ourselves or to be haughty. On the contrary, people are being self-destructive. They're hurting themselves, perhaps without even knowing it. So that responsibility, says Minchas Chinuch, is not limited, even though Hochech is from the Minyan Taryag, but it's not limited to that. Rather, says the Minchas Chinuch in a famous Chiddush, there is at least one other mitzvah, which is also applicable here. Says Minchas Chinuch, if you do not fulfill the mitzvah, you are in violation of Lo Samad Al Dam Reyacha. Now the Gemara very famously describes the relationship between Avedas Mamon and Avedas Gufo from the Pasuk of Hashevoso Lo. And in fact, the Gemara does seem to say the responsibility to be Machzer Saman Lamutov to hopefully bring them to the right way is there's also a certain Hashavas Aveda idea. As the Gemara says, if we are Machayev to return somebody's wallet, so this is something that's so much more precious, all the more so. So that seems to be an earlier source, but the Minchas Chinuch takes it one step further, because that is also what a mitzvah asay. It may be a different one than Ochech L'Chiyach, but it's still in the mitzvah asay realm. The Minchas Chinuch, I think, is the one who pushes the envelope, and he says, and if you don't do it, then you're in violation of a very significant lo sasei of lo samad al dam reyecha. What is he saying? Something very, very profound that we can equate, at least approximate a sakana, I guess you call it gufanis, physical danger, with a sakana ruchnis, with a spiritual danger. So any halacha that requires our action to save someone's physical life, so we can just, even though it's not there's no basis in Shas for such an application, at least no explicit reference, but it says the Minchas Chinuch, we can just slide that over the board. Just like the Gemara says when it comes to Hashevoso Lo, that you can apply returning someone's wallet to try to save them. So here too, we can slide it over one further step. It's not just his life and his wallet, it's certainly his spiritual life. Go all the way. Why stop just at his physical life? His spiritual life is all the more valuable. Now, I mentioned that this may be indicated by a Rishon, not necessarily about a violation of Lo Samod, but this Chiddush, that you can take a halacha, which is clearly mentioned in the primary or original sources about physical danger, and apply it to spiritual danger, from a very famous discussion that the Beis Yosef has in Hilchos Shabbos. Beis Yosef quotes two deos, a machlokas rishonim, with the following question, very well known, probably to some of you already. If somebody they're staggering away in shul, and all of a sudden somebody runs in and says, Nebuch, Nebuch, your daughter has been kidnapped. And I saw the kidnappers, these are not the kind of people who are looking to hurt her, and these aren't the people who are looking for a ransom, but it was a galach. It was someone who's coming to convert her. They're going to take her away to a monastery, and they're not going to ask for a ransom, they're not going to hurt her, but you're never going to see her again, and they're going to raise her as a Christian. And they're already, mechutz l'tchum, you're already going to have to do some kind of a chil Shabbos to save her, but if you don't go now, then you're never going to find her. How are you ever going to find her if you have to wait till after Shabbos? So what are you to do? Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to try to save her? So the Rishonim discuss, well, there's no Gemara that talks about this. What is the halacha? The Beferish halacha is, if you know, ironically enough, if it was a bunch of hooligans and you were afraid that she was going to get beat up or killed, so even if it were only maybe she's going to get killed, Safek Bekoch Nefesh, even a minor Safek, we would say, you can be Mechal Shabbos without any question. But here we seem to have no doubt that she'll be fine. On the contrary, they want her alive. They want her to be able to convert her. So I can't remember who it was. I think it was a Ramban. I don't remember who it was. But one of the Rishonim that quoted in the Beis Yosef. I don't know. Well, I was going to say the Ramban holds, you cannot be Mechal Shabbos. Right? Ramban holds, Nebuch will do our best after Shabbos. But what could we do? Chai Behem means physical life, which has a profound, just as an aside, it's not the Musar or the message of this year, but that's a profound message in its own right, right? You know, unlike other religions here, I would contrast us not with our Christian brothers, with our Muslim brothers, right? We take life seriously. right? There's much more religious, and I've mentioned this in terms of other halachos, Rambam and other things, right? We believe in the Kedushas HaChaim in a very profound way. So Kedushas HaChaim will violate Shabbos, but here the life will remain. So hopefully we'll find her, and if not, she'll be an honest. But you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos. I think it's, I'm not sure if that's Ramban, but the Beis Yosef does quote the Judea. I think the Beis Yosef himself finds it Kasher Lahakel. But if I'm not mistaken, he quotes Rashba. I think it was Rashba, if I remember correctly, unless I'm inverting the Shitas, who said, no, Taka, you can be Mechal Shabbos. After all, if you can be Mechal Shabbos to save her life, so Achas Kama Vakami, she should be able to save her Neshama.
Don't we say the reason why you can be Mechal Shabbos because if you're Mechal Shabbos once, you'll be able to keep more Shabbos. Right. So to hear the same thing.
Well, you may. The only it's a good svara, and I wouldn't be surprised, even though I don't remember, I didn't look it up inside today, but I don't remember if this is quoted. But just as a cautionary note, you should realize that there's two reasons given in the Gemara for being Mechal Shabbos. That's one of them, and it seems clear from the Gemara and Rav Rishonim that we reject that one. That the reason that we really paskin halacha lamaisa is the chaybahem. However, this idea of long term, and the truth is they're not just different reasons, they're profoundly different reasons. Mm-hmm. And this is not our topic, but since you brought it up, they're profoundly different reasons. The chaybahem basically says we look at the moment, and the moment itself is so sacrosanct that that's even willing to violate Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos Achas, this idea of, well, no, be Mechal Shabbos now because we want to be able to have a person alive, we're talking about physical danger, so they can help them. That's not looking at this moment. If it would be just for this moment, maybe Shabbos would win. But we have a long-term view. And that long-term view may allow us to be more makel than we would otherwise if we were just looking in the moment. Now, as I said, I think, in one of the pieces in my Sefer, actually, I quote from the Tzitzel Yezer and others, where they point out that even though it seems like most Rishonim hold that Chaybahem is the Iker, you do see every now and then a Rishonim, and you certainly see in Shuvahs and Poskim where they do invoke, you're on good footing, they do invoke, even though Chaybahem seems to be the Iker, but if Lakula, they will sometimes invoke that. And again, very sensitive issues. But Pashtus, that's not going to be sufficient, but I don't remember, it's worth checking in. So I mention this because that would be Lachora Makor and Rishonim, I think, maybe the only Makor, I'm not sure if there's others, for this jump of the Minchas Chinuch, even though they're talking about different mitzvos or psukim, but the principle that we're going to slide across the board from physical to spiritual danger already is beforehand. So the Minchas Chinuch says explicitly, based on this, now getting back to the question we started with, therefore, you have to spend all the money in the world, any money you have, in order to be able to fulfill Hochech Tochiach. And then I guess in our question, you know, you'll find another job, there'll be another shul, but you got to do what you got to do to fight the good battle. You have to be...
Well, your scenario is a little different. One is if you spend money towards perform Hochech Tochiach.
No.
You're talking about a result that's more like a growth.
Yeah, I don't think it would matter. I don't think it would matter according to the Minchas Chinuch. But I just want to point out that the Ramah passes against it. The Ramah is beferish, but that's not the case. And the Ramah is in Yaridea, Simen Shin Lamed Daled, Seif Memches, and the Ramah is quoting the Mariv Vayel, which was Mariv. In the Mariv, I took a look, I don't remember how much is in the Ramah, but I was able to take a look a little bit earlier today. And it's clear when you look into the Tshuva what the Shorash Machlokas is. A very simple one. He doesn't quote Menach Chinuch, but he never applies Los Amod. And I don't know, I don't want to read too much into it. I don't know if he broadly, does that mean he would disagree with the Rashi? Well, I don't know. Maybe you have to take each case. But the bottom line is he does not assume that Los Amod, in a formal sense, is violated. In other words, if you don't do a Hochech Tochiach, so he sees it as a bitul asay. He does not see it as a violation of a Los Asay, let alone a Los Asay as emotionally laden or as profound and as machmir as Los Amod, which is not just any Los Asay. So he never invokes that, and therefore he says, and this is the Ramah passing this way. Now, I didn't have time to double check. It's worth double checking if the Ramah makes a comment about this case on Shabbos, and if he doesn't, or if he does, and he passes that we're not Mechal Shabbos, I don't remember. So then it would be interesting to think of a svara to be Mechalik. Then he would be Lishitaso, about not equating the spiritual with the physical danger. If he passes that you are Mechal Shabbos, so we'd have to think about why you could be Mechalik between the Tchumen. but I didn't have a chance to take a look. But just to point out, this relates to this question of whether we're just focusing on Hochayach Tochiyach, or perhaps can we bring in other mitzvahs.
So can you say, in the kidnap case, the Ramban says...
I prefaced the shir that I had almost no time to prepare. So I didn't have a chance to look at this inside. But I recall, this is the famous Beis Yosef, I recall Beis Yosef quotes the two deos, and my memory is telling me that it was Machlokas or Chochmei Sfarad. So I think it was a Rashban or Ramban. But if you can't find Beis Yosef, it's not that hard to find. But if you can't, I'll try to find it for you. I'll get you the Mar Mokum. We'll both take a look inside. I don't remember.
Are there any Ashkenaz on this?
I don't remember.
Because I'll tell you why. I could say from a historical perspective there would be a tzad if you were living in Ashkenaz to be makil on the tzad that there is an inyan of pikuach nefesh, and that is because there were Jews in Ashkenaz who were forced to convert, oftentimes killed themselves.
So you mean the famous Tosfos Shita and Dr. Graf?
Right, exactly. Yeharek v'al yavar was applied very broadly in Ashkenaz to be even suicide, and that's what Jews did in the time of the Crusades. And
so maybe you'd be mankled because you think this girl's going to kill herself.
The girl's going to kill herself when they're ready to throw the water on her. She's going to kill herself.
Interesting, so. Very interesting. Okay, yeah. Dr. Karlup is referring to the famous sheetas of the Balei Tosfos who defend what seemed to be indefensible, the mass of suicides that we have the testimony from even in the Rishonim during the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
Right, of course, but that's not the only place. And I was referring to the fact that Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik has a very famous academic article where he traces this phenomenon in Chachmei Ashkenaz and their willingness to defend the practice, so to speak, bend the text to fit the practice.
Right.
Okay, good. I don't know, there's a lot of, it's a fruitful topic, that's for sure. That's a tragic topic.
All right, there's a
sheer
for it.
Okay, either it's on sale. I'm getting to it.
My point is, though, that it seems to me that there's a, just using this as a parameter, if you have a parameter for a mitzvah tasei, once you exceed that parameter, you don't say, well, now the lois tasei kicks in, obviously. You've done the tasei to the extent you can.
If presumably they have the same definition.
Right.
Yes.
So to me, it would seem reasonable that if you have an tasei, which normally the shear is 20%, of your cash on hand, let's say, according to their own law, that you would have to expend, that you would not apply the rule of spending all your
money. That's another reason. That's another reason to reject Minchas Chinuch.
Yeah.
Okay, could be.
Minchas Chinuch is the one that says you have to spend because of Lois Amin?
I think so. Yeah.
Did you bring that? I thought that he said the finish of Lois Amin, and we're applying.
I think he does. We'll double. I'm referring to something in Reish Lama Test. It's Mitzvah Reish Lama Test. We'll take a look. After the shir, I don't have it. Oh, we can't grab it right there. In the middle of shir, already there. Okay, it's mitzvah reish lamed tes and mitzvah chaschanah.
If they really go hand in hand, though, in the case of actual life, is there any assay that you only have to spend 20% to save somebody's life?
How much money do you have to spend to save someone's life?
Right. I mean,
I think there is a discussion. I don't think it's partial at all, but you're chayiv.
No, if there's an independent law of lo samad al dam re'acha, does the lo samad al dam re'acha for somebody's actual physical life contain a parallel assay? If not, then what's the discussion?
I'm not following you.
You know, the lo samad al dam re'acha is not, it's not a coupled law to an assay of hocheach tochiyach. It's its own thing. It's applied for physical life and spiritual life.
Well, again, it's not obvious. It's not obvious. It's not obvious that it's implied for spiritual. That's essentially Minchas Chinuch.
If your theory is that it is
spiritual
life, then it's across the board. It has nothing to do with
it. Well, then there would never be a shear in Hochayach Tochiyach. It would be limitless.
Right.
So that must prove, since there is a shear, so that must prove that it can't be applied across the
board. Okay.
Well, we'll see. It's a good segue to what I want to get to now. I hope not to keep you much longer, but I want to get to the next point, which is certainly a very important one, which is certainly back on the daf. Tosfos, before we get to Tosfos' answer, but Tosfos on top of daf nun hey raises an important issue. As I mentioned, our Gemara, and that's the only Gemara I've referenced so far, our Gemara very clearly tells us that there are that whether there are financial limits, which we just raised, success is not presumed success, in possible humiliation is not one of the excuses. Right? The rabbi thinks, well, they're not going to listen to me. So what? The Gemara here is very unambiguous. You have to give a chocha even if you don't think they're going to listen. So the Gemara, Satosis asks, before I take that back, how does he say it? I didn't say that. Tosfos doesn't ask the question, even though he answers the question before he asks it. That's just from a, you know, that's this particular Tosfos doesn't ask a question or answer. He kind of bevorns his question. So if you skip the answer for a moment and go to the continuation of Tosfos, what is the question that Tosfos is already answering in the first line? Which is that we have another Gemara. The Gemara comes up in a number of places. Here he quotes it from Masechet Beitza of Mutav Shiushogin Valyu Mizidin. That aren't there times where we actually say it's better not to give hochacha when we think that they're not going to listen? So that Gemara seems to be l'cha'ora a stira to our Gemara. I'm not sure why this is, you know, this may be another academic scholarly question. I'm not sure why, you know, to me it would have been a more powerful presentation if Tosfos asked the question as a steer and the Gemara and then gave his answer. But for whatever reason, the way Tosfos is quoted, he's already giving you, the answer lacks the excitement I think it would have had if we first were bothered by the tension of the question. But Tosfos already tries to give us an answer. And that is, Hainu Hecha the Suffolk in Makabla. Can I mean Basamak? Then we apply Hanach Lahem Mutav Shiushogin. So Tosfos here tells us a very, very important principle. At least in theory, how to apply it is not so simple, but important certainly. Tosfos says it all depends on your likelihood of success. You have to be Meshire. No, we don't go by Rove. Even if there's a possibility, Shema, maybe they'll listen. So I don't know if that's 10%, even maybe it's less than 10, even maybe it's 1%, but it's certainly less than 50. You still a chayim. As long as it's a Shema, maybe they'll listen, then you have to do it. But if it's a vadai that they won't listen, then better not to open your mouth. Muto shoyishogigin v'alyu mezidin. Now, before we see some of the other issues, just again to point out that this sugya, and this is where I said in the beginning of the year, our Gemara is not just any Gemara, but it's like on the fault line of a major understanding of our relationship with others, because again, these two Gemaras are constantly need to be juggled, so to speak, and balanced one against the other to understand, bottom line, what our responsibilities are. Our Gemara seems to say no holds barred, you're always chayiv. And there's a Gemara out there that seems to be very clear that, on the contrary, if you're not going to be successful, better not to try. And that's certainly opposite of what was said here.
That's not a shogig, though. No, it's
Mutav Shiushogig. Oh, okay, good. So the apparent contradiction between those Gemaras leads many different Rishonim to suggest various resolutions. So the first one that we're looking at, just because it's Tosfos on our page, is the difference between, you know, maybe and definite. Tosfos does not give you a chiluk. Tosfos says it all depends. If you think there's a chance they might listen, then you chayev to do it no matter what, even if they're maybe only doing it now b'shogeg. Whereas, to take the other extreme, if you know they're not going to listen, even if they're mazed, and that's more likely to assume, if they're doing it b'shogeg, adarabah, they're most likely going to listen once you educate them. Or at least...
Well, the Gemara says no, the Gemara says that they're women.
Right, they're going to be so connected to what they're doing. Okay, fine, that's true. But anyway, but certainly if they're doing it b'mazed anyway, so you could argue, so they already know that's wrong, what are you going to tell them they don't know already?
But I'm saying, what would Tosfos say about mazed?
I don't think he cares. At least not here. He's not addressing it. It's not a factor. His factor is likelihood of success. As long as there's even a small chance, which is another way of saying, which is the ikra of the two Gemaras? Which is the ikra of the two Gemaras? And if this Gemara is enunciating a certain approach, and that Gemara is, thus is resolution as well, as long as there's a little bit of a chance that they'll listen, then you have to do it. But if not, you don't. Which is the two Gemaras?
The
other Gemara. The principle of that Gemara is, you only have to do Achech Tochiach if they're going to listen. That's what the Gemara sounded like there. Comes along Tosfos and is saying, yes, that's true, but modified. As long as they might listen, it might mean even 1%, let's say. Maybe it's down even to 1%. If you know they're not going to listen, that's the only time that Gemara was going to let you off the hook. Whereas this Gemara, which is much more heavily weighted to, yes, you have to do it no matter what, Tosfos just sees that as modifying the Ikra Gemara. The Ikra Gemara is clearly, according to Tosfos, Beis or the other places, perhaps, where that idea is mentioned. I wanted to...
I just mentioned an argument, too. It says that...
With the Midas Adin. Yeah, I want to get to, yeah, exactly. So I stopped reading too soon before, but yes. So that's, of course, the case that I was alluding to. I didn't finish reading the Gemara in the time of the Korban, and Midas Adin says, that they, why should they be punished? The Nevi'im said they're not, Hashem said, I know that they weren't going to listen. And Midas HaDin says, yeah, you knew Hashem, but they didn't know that they weren't going to listen. For them, it was at least a possibility, even if it was very, 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 very unlikely. And therefore, you're chayev. So again, if you know, the ikker seems to still be, if you know they're going to listen. It's just that now we thought, maybe if you just learned Masech Tabetza, you would have thought it was obvious that they were going to listen. And now we've radically redefined it, but we're still on those terms. We're not on our Gemara's terms, we're on their terms. Even radically defined, it's still the terms of that Gemara, namely that, yes, we focus on success, but we hold out hope even in the most unlikely of circumstances for success, even if it's only a maybe. But Enechanami, if it's a definite, or it's from our Gemara, it's like you even have to go to bat even when it's a definite. Tosu says no. If it's a definite taka, then you don't have to do it. The Ran quotes from the Ra'ah, I think something which is not so much a fundamental, but very practical, which is, how do you know? How do you know? You don't really ever know, because the next time maybe, you know, one more Musar Shmuz, one more guilt trip, one more look of the eyes, maybe that'll do it. But at least the Ran says, I'll give you a practical litmus test. Don't be a guesser. Try once. At least you got to try once. Says the Ran, when you don't know, then you didn't even try. But if you tried, said the Ra, and they didn't listen, then the Shaila is, you have to go back? Says the Ra, no. That's when you start being the shikul of Tosfos. Then you can, that's the application of Tosfos. It's not the second Tosfos, he's applying Tosfos. That's when you can say, now I know for sure. But before you start, even if you think it's not likely, but even if there's a 1% chance, that's how you know to rule.
This is Ron and Ron Arkamara?
No, I think it's, I don't know, I saw this quoted. Who did I see quote this? I don't remember. I saw it probably in a secondary safer, mm-hmm. I don't remember. It may be here, I don't remember. Just worth noting, there is a Chasam Sofer. This I saw quoted by the Shermason and Balochos. Maybe this is where I saw that Ron, too, I don't remember. The Shermason quotes a Chasam Sofer, who makes a distinction, again, a very practical one, but understandable in that sense, that it only depends, here he distinguishes between the Gemaras, between who the populations are. Are we speaking about a leader who's focused on a larger population, or are we talking about dealing with an individual who is caught up in the den of sin? Namely, if you're talking about Rov HaOlam, he uses, actually, not just the Tzibur, really, but Rov HaOlam. I don't know if he means that literally or not, but I think that's the Lashon. If you're talking about Rov HaOlam, so then you practically have to make a cheshbon, as the Gemara and Beitza said. If you're not going to listen, then better not to say anything. But if it's an individual, even if you know they're not going to listen, you still have to be mocha. Why? So he says, in a certain practical sense, a very important sense, because what about others? You don't say anything. Other people will think that there must not be anything wrong with it. So therefore, you have to say something in order to make sure people know. And without getting into any specifics, I deal with this regularly. And I'm thinking of one specific, probably public case, in which I keep on repeating every now and then in various ways my objection to certain behavior, even though I have almost no hope that the people who are actually violating are going to listen. Because every now and then, new people join the group. And I need that they should have no plausible, that they need to know that it's absolutely wrong. Hopefully that's because they won't do it. But that is exactly an application, I believe, of this Chasam Sofer. I want to mention one other opinion, but from a few other Rishonim, about resolving this. And then we'll be ready to invoke a third Gemara, which is the one that Shlomi alluded to. We haven't even gotten to that Gemara, which is the Gemara in Erechim.
Anybody bring down the owner?
As an example, you mean? Not that I remember. I mean, I'm sure it's...
I mean, it's obvious. He knew people were...
Yeah. Which, what you mean? He didn't want to do it because he was going to be successful and make the Jews look bad. Right. He didn't want to give Nineveh because he knew that Nineveh would listen.
He knew he was afraid.
Either way. Okay, the point is it's not a failure of success. Because he knew that it would make the Jews look bad. I just want to point out that the Rosh in Beitza also asked this question, as does the Rashba in the Tshuva. And the Rosh especially first starts off by quoting Tosis, but then he quotes a second answer, which is what the Rashba also quotes, and this is powerful enough that it makes it into the Shulchan Aruch, and that is to distinguish as a way of resolving our Gemara between how likely it is that people would have known or should know better. And the way the Gemara, and you see this with a number of Rishonim, but I think it's a constant Shita, and at least the way they formulate it is, depends on how explicit an Aveira it is. If it's something that's a Drasha, so then you could say, well, that's the kind of thing that people, are gonna, don't know any better. But if you say something is beferish v'kra, so then you absolutely have to be mocha, even if you know that, they're not gonna listen. Now, before I get to that third Gemara, and really, I think just to formulate an important chakira and to introduce a very important Rishon, and with that, hopefully, then we'll close. I did see today for the first time an interesting piece by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in the Kobe Taros in Simin Mem Beis Sifkat Dalit, and that's till the end. I forget how many other paragraphs there are. But he starts off. It's based on a. It's very fascinating. We don't have time to get into, but it's discussing. You're really coming at it. Mamish Min Atzad. The Tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek, who discusses the following. He has the following Chiddush. Let's say there's a case where Safek D'Oraisa tells you L'chumra. You shouldn't eat certain things in Safek D'Oraisa. You go ahead and eat it anyway, and then we're Mavar that it was Tahor. So you weren't supposed to eat it, but in hindsight, you didn't eat anything that was prohibited. Says the Tzemach Tzedek, Boi Kapara. You need Kapara because you were supposed to have been machmir on the safek, and you weren't. So the Kovitz Aros, Rabbi Chanan, brings a number of rayas against the Tzemach Tzedek. So the Kovitz Aros brings a number of rayas against the Tzemach Tzedek. And then he says, well, maybe there's a raya for the Tzemach Tzedek. Well, he quotes our Gemara. Okay. Was that a case where it was a suffix?
No,
there's two issues. I think this is what you're referring to, which is what if you thought it was tummy, suver shetummy, you thought you were eating treif, but it turns out, right, it wasn't the guy in Muncie, it was his evil twin, right? He was buying kosher instead of treif. So he was only using the kosher chickens. So, not the evil twin, the good twin, whatever. So you thought you were eating treif, and turns out you were used to think, treif, this is what treif is? No, better than the kosher. Turns out it was kosher. So there, you do that. That's the gemara, that you need kapara. So he discusses, again, maybe you could say it's the same thing, maybe you could mechalik, and he suggests that maybe it's a separate question, which is, what if it's a besafik, not that you thought it was treif, it was only besafik to you. But you did it anyway. And it turns out it was okay. So anyway, the point is, he quotes some Raya of Chanan against him, but then he quotes the Ar Gemara. He quotes Ar Gemara. He says, Ar Gemara shows that you're supposed to do something even in a case of Safek. And if you don't do it, you're punished. Adarabah, Midas Adin. Says they didn't know. It was a Safek whether people would listen. You knew Hashem, but they didn't know. And so they didn't do it, but welcome Safek, they got punished. Yeah, I didn't strike me as Rabbi Chanan type of a raya. But anyway, the point is, he's bothered enough by it. Let me put it this way. I like it because of what comes next. He doesn't like the Tzemach Tzedek, but he says, this is a raya for him. So he says, and this is, I think, is a very Rabbi Chanan, Baranovich-esque chiluk to answer it. He says, perhaps you could distinguish, perhaps Tochacha, which is our case, is unique. He says, perhaps the nature of Tochacha is that the Chiyuv is always Betorah Safek. Because you can never know, even if you claim you know for sure they're not going to listen, you can never, this I can certainly testify, you can never know for sure that people will listen. You can never say, I know for sure people will listen. And therefore, the Chiyuv is... He didn't say that, but you could add that. Right, you could add that. He doesn't use that term. But yes, so he's the nature of Tochacha is always... So it's interesting that even though Tosfos seems, and all these other Rishonim who follow Tosfos seem to say that we do make some kind of a shikul, Rabbi Chanan does seem to have a very persuasive point that the nature of this mitzvah is one that is always v'safik. Now, we're running a little bit later than I wanted to keep you, but let me just mention very briefly the final part of the sugya, which really, in a sense, is the fundamental chakira. Not only do we have these two Gemaras that seem to run against each other, Yevamos, which was in Beitza, Mitzvah Lomer, Lolomer, Davar Sheino Nishma, On the other hand, Gemara Shabbos, Ara Gemara, this seems Bapashas, you always have to give Tochacha. But you have a third Gemara, which is what Shlemi mentioned, which is the Gemara in Erech Nadav Tezvav, which seems to indicate that you have to give Tochacha even if you're met with abuse. And what's the, how much abuse? So one opinion, I think it's Rav Shmuel, if I remember correctly, one opinion is even verbal abuse. And the second opinion is even physical abuse. Even if the guy beats you up, you still have to give Tochacha. So this really seems to be, which on which side more like our Gemara? Right, not just if they're not going to listen to you. What if they're going to take you out and beat you up? Not likely. So this really raises the issue, which I just wanted to mention so briefly, but there's really more Torah on, which is really gets to the heart of the nature of Chayach Tochiach, which is, to what extent is the purpose of Chayach Tochiach as Amisecha to stop a person from sinning? And to what extent is it a mitzvah per se, irregardless of outcome? And there could be kulas and chumras in both directions. Now, I did see at least one, if not two, achronim who explicitly discussed this question and made reference explicitly that this relates to the machlokos of Darshin and time of the Kroh or not. In other words, to what extent do we look for reasons for mitzvos and allow those reasons to be applicable? But be that as it may, even if that's not related, we certainly, just a question of sometimes how you formulate it, but certainly many, many Rishonim and others seem to relate to this. So for example, the Sefer HaChinuch, when he's being magdir this mitzvah in Reish Lamed Tes, he says you have to give Hochech Tochich, you have to give Mussar to people, so that they'll change. And he says, therefore, what's a nafkamina? What if it's a bully? What if it's a bully? So he says, there's no chance, and there's no chance you can get through to him. Pater. The Rambam is very good. The Rambam talks about this both in the Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Reishay, also in Hichos Deos and Perek Vav. The Rambam says explicitly, the purpose of the mitzvah is to prevent averos. Or as he says in Deos, to return the person, Achziro Lamutov, to return him to the proper way. Aye! Doesn't that go against, not our Gemara, certainly the Gemara in Erchin, where it seems like you're not getting anywhere with the guy. So the Rambam really is the only one who really answers this question. Many other Rishonim, the Chinuch does not relate to it. But many Rishonim seem to go with this approach. It's very practical. The purpose is to get something done, to hopefully help people. So the Rambam says, interesting, the way he understands the Gemara in Erchin is, the limit is until he beats you up and says, and I'm not going to listen. In other words, you would think that it's obvious that if he's beating you up, he's not going to listen. And says, Rambam, it's not obvious. Or at least it's not the first stage. The bottom line is until he makes it clear that he's not going to listen, we still hold out hope. But if he says he's not going to listen, then we don't do it. And I think, again, even though they're cutting the line differently, again, it's back to Tosus and Udi Imam, and back really to basically saying that Beitza / Yevamos, this Mitzvah Dover Shalom, Lomersh davar nishma versus lonishma, that is the ikur mukur. Our Gemara seems to tilt in a different direction. The Gemara in Erchin especially seems to tilt in a different direction. So maybe that moves the yard line. But which side of the field we're on, we're still on that side. We're still focusing on the practicality of hopefully getting something done. And that's with this we'll close, that all of this should be contrasted with the very famous Shita of the Yerayim. Famous because a number of poskim, including Magen Avraham and Abir Halacha, quote it, and famous because it's so fascinating. The Abir Halacha says explicitly, that in certain cases, you're chayev to do tochacha, even when you know that it has no chance of being effective. When are those cases? If the person, the Sefer Yerayim, it's in mitzvah in the Defus Chodosh, in the new countings, which if you're looking up by Bar Ilan nowadays, that's the one that they have. It's in Reish Chav Gimel 2:33. Says the Sefer Yerayim, if it is an Avera B'Shogeg, so then Yechayev to do it. If it's an Avera B'Mezid or Lahachas, if it's an Avera B'Mezid or Lahachas, so you know they're Lahachas next, and no matter what you say, they're not going to listen. Adarabba. So now it's not the maybe anymore of Tosus. It's not even a 1% of Tosus, it's a 0%. You still chayev to do it. The only thing he says is, but if they still don't listen, you're not punished. You're not nitpas ba'osa oven. And we'll end with where we started. And not only is that a fascinating shita, Another fascinating shita. We'll end where we started, which was Eli's point, or the tushta between these two gemaras, Nadal and Abayez, and then Hayim and Aleph. Because the Pashtus, what Eli said, was correct. And the Ramban Allah Torah says this, Rabbi Yonah Shari Tshuva says this, which is that the relationship between Arvus and Ocher Tuchiyach is that they're really one and the same. That Arvus is the reason for Ocher Tuchiyach. So you don't have one without the other. Arvus is not an independent fact. It generates the Chiyuv of Ocher Tuchiyach. But both the Avnei Nezer and... Oh, Nipas Oven is one of the Nafkaminas, but the main one that it generates is that therefore you have to do something about it. Therefore,
what do you accomplish if you're
looking at
the guy who's for sure not going to, you're accomplishing the fact that
we... Oh, goodness, hold on one second. Hold on. So that's the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Yonah and Bapashta's most Rishonim. However, and that's why they say in certain circumstances, if a person is no longer Bechlal Arvus, then maybe there's no Chiyah Pachayach Tochiyah. However, the Avnei Nezer, and less exclusively, but I think it's in the direction of the Maram Shik, both say that you see from this Yireim a completely different understanding. The Yireim is holding that they're not one and the same, but the Yireim holds that Arvus and Ocheach Tochiach are two separate categories. Because you can have a phenomenon in which you're no longer going to be caught up by the problems of Arvus, no matter what, you're not going to be Nitzasov, you're not going to get punished. Whereas according to all the other Rishonim, so if you pull out that card, the whole deck collapses. According to the Reim, even though there's no longer any Arvus, there can still be an independently generated Chiyuv of Ocheach Tuchiyach Esami Secha. So I was thinking, and with this we'll really close, that there's two possible explanations for that. Really, maybe 1A and 1B. One is, which we saw from the Chasam Sofer, that maybe there's a Chiyuv to do it still for other people. But you still have to say something, because if you don't say something, other people are going to listen. Another possibility, which is maybe a 1B, maybe even a little more philosophical, but I find very persuasive, is sometimes you have to make a macha just because you have to make a macha.
Who says that?
Chasam Sofer is the one who says about other people. But I'm saying now what maybe a 1B is not so much for other people, for yourself. Right? If you cut me, will I not bleed? Whereas you have to feel that a Jew sees someone doing this in a very, you have to craft it. And again, we don't have time for it now, but this Yireim and this Avnei Nezer are very important. There are some who want to suggest that perhaps, Ocheach Tuchiyach is not a mitzvah b'nan l'makom, perhaps it's not a mitzvah b'nan l'chavero, but perhaps it's a mitzvah b'nan l'asmo. You need to do it for yourself, because it's a statement about what's wrong. And therefore, even if it's completely impractical, it's irrelevant. This other person is only the echatimsa, so to speak. But it's really my chiyuv.
Okay.